You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Shabbos Parshas V'Yakol Pekudei. I'd like to give a little Hagdoma, which is Negeya last week's shir as well. We have to understand that the Mefarshei Torah are not just explaining the Pesukim Pashut Pshat, or even Drush, and certainly not just a historical narrative. The Mefarshei Torah are supposed to help us understand how to live our lives, and to give nachas to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and to function as former Yidden. We do mitzvahs, we do averes. Rabbeinu Shel Olam, like it says in the Ani Mamin, which many of us say every day, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam looks at what we do, the mitzvahs and the averes, and he judges everybody accordingly. Ani Mamin be'emunah shleima shebo'er yisborach shmo yigrevel tov l'shomrei mitzvosav. Kodesh Baruch Hu gives peroyin. He rewards us for the good things we do. And Rachmana Litzlan, if we have to be punished, then we are punished. But we have to understand the mechanisms which Kodesh Baruch Hu put into place, which he implements the reward and Rachmana Litzlan, the payback for those who don't do what we are told and obligated to do. So with that very brief introduction, there is a Shemesh Shmuel. Those who want to look it up, it's in Parshas Pekudei, as we mentioned, Shnas Tuf Reish Ayin. This is the first section of the Parashat Pekudei. Divrei Amatzku Loses is Trumas Hashem L'chapar Al Nafshei Sechem. We won't go through the whole piece, but within this piece, he explains a narrative that happened way back by the Sneh. Now, finishing Sefer Shmos, but this narrative took place at the beginning of Sefer Shmos when a Kodesh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu by the Sneh, and he sent Moshe Rabbeinu to redeem Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Mi anoichi ki eil chal paray? Who am I to go to Paray?" And the next pasuk says, a Kodesh Baruch Hu said, "I will be with you ki eye imo." And in the Rashi ki eye imo, Rashi explains that Moshe Rabbeinu, part of his reluctance of going because he didn't understand how Klal Yisrael had the schus to leave. And many of us, when we go through the Torah, we don't really recognize what kind of bad state Klal Yisrael was in, not only because they were physically afflicted, but they were vastly assimilated. And even after all of the nisin that were associated with the Makis, where they saw literally the Yad Hashem, the hand of God, a big chunk of Klal Yisrael died in the middle of the Makas Choshech. And as we mentioned a number of times, by Kriyas Yamsuf, there were Malachim in Shemayim that were telling Klal Yisrael, "Why are you saving the Eden and killing and drowning the Mitzrim? The assimilation was terrible in Mitzrayim, and the majority of the Jews, it seems, were Oivdei Avodah Zorah. That's Pashut Pshat. So Moshe Rabbeinu, Rashi says, had doubts of Klal Yisrael had a schus to get out of Mitzrayim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered Moshe Rabbeinu, as Rashi says, "Ma schus yesh li Yisrael sheyetzu min Mitzrayim?" So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Dova godol yesh li al hutzah zu." It's a very big deal by me, kiviyochol, the Rabbeinu Shlom said, because when I take them out, show you asidim lekabel Torah al ha'har hazeh, that they are destined to receive the Torah on this mountain. It seems the snare was on our Sinai. And in this place, Klal Yisrael will be mekabel the Torah, and they will become my people. And this is seemingly enough of a tzchus. So the Shemesh Shmuel reveals to us again the mechanism by which the Rabbeinu Shel Olam runs the world. And he says, on this that Rashi says, "Ma schus yesh li Yisrael," Kodesh Baruch Hu judges mankind favorably if in the future they will do good things. Even though by Averis, ein adon ma she'osid la'asos rasha rak basher husho. You see, by Yishmael, Kodesh Baruch Hu saves him when his mother Hagar took him out away from Avram Avinu, because at that time he had not yet sinned, Yishmael. So we see from here the Chazal say that just because somebody in the future will do Averis, the Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't punish them now before they did the Averis. But Kodesh Baruch Hu will give schar for those people who will in the future do mitzvahs, even though they are currently in a sorry state. But there is an exception. When someone is granted a high post or a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives a person special favors or yeshuas, that's a time when such a person has to be careful, because the Mekaterigim, the angels in Shemayim, who are destructive angels, can say, wait, wait, wait. This fellow, in his ledger book, it seems that he did significant averis. Is he worthy that he should be given all these good things or this high post? And then they look into his Pinkus, and it could be a rough ride for such a person. So even though Kadosh Baruch Hu is very benevolent and does not necessarily look at the averis now, and a person could be redeemed for the goodness alone in the future, but he is vulnerable when the Kadosh Baruch Hu is about to give him a Yeshua or when he gets high office. So he says, the ha'etza ha'yu'utza, an important expression, an exceptionally positive thing to do, shall we say, that a person should always think that when he's mespalel to the Rabbeinu Shalom, that whatever it is that he's asking for, he should think of it in terms of what good will come to Hashem from this bakasha that he's asking. In other words, we know that the Rabbeinu Shalom kiviyochol is sad when Klal Yisrael has tzoras. And there's always tzoras in Klal Yisrael as long as we're in Golis. So we should be mispalel. Rabbeinu Shleilem, there are so many people in Klal Yisrael who are sad, and you're sad. Send Yeshuas to Klal Yisrael, to those people that are hungry, to those people who are sick, to those people who have problems with their children, and send me what I need also. In other words, don't stress the tefillah being specifically, exclusively for yourself. You're mispalel that the source of Klal Yisrael as a whole should be remedied, and my tefillah among them. And he should make his requests of a Kodesh Baruch Hu in a way that it's obvious that he's being mitzarf what he's asking for to the something that good will come to Hashem as a result of his bakasha, of his request. And if he's mispalel that his children should behave better, he should have in mind that, Rabbeinu Shalom, if my children will behave better and be better Jews, you will have nachas from them. So if a person gets used to thinking this way and asking the Rabbeinu Shalom in his tefillahs for things, that he should ask them in a way that it should give nachas to Kadosh Baruch Hu, then these mekatrigim, these angelic creatures that normally he would be vulnerable to their critical comments about this guy, maybe he's not worthy, they will be silenced. Because if a Kodesh Baruch Hu is having naches from this person's tefillah, so to speak, then it will serve him well, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu will not make him vulnerable to these negative influences. And he's medayik in this Rashi, that when Moshe Rabbeinu was answered by Kodesh Baruch Hu, Dovar Godol Yesh Li, I will have naches from them. So this is a hint to this methodology. And later on in the same piece, Zu Eitza Yehutza L'chol Ish Parati, each person in Klal Yisrael, when there comes a Yeshua or Hashva Toivo, or even if he just gets up in the morning and Hashem gives him his neshama back, intact, and he's healthy, the first thing he should do in the morning is do something for Hashem as well. He should demonstrate to Hashem that it's for real. It's not just a methodology he's using for his own benefit. Demonstrating to Kadosh Baruch Hu that he really wants to do Ratzon HaBoro. And he should not do his own personal needs as soon as he gets up and say, oh, I got to do this. He should get up and say, Moedi Ani, Lefanecha Melechai V'Kayom, Shechazal V'Bi Nishmasi, and he should do something specifically for Hashem. Very fascinating, practical advice, which is Ketetzah. It's a derivative of how the Shem Yishmael is learning the Pasuk. He's saying the Pasuk is teaching us this is how we should behave. So as is our custom, I will try to connect this shiur to a spectacular story, powerful story, which I ask forgiveness. I'm going to have to condense it greatly. This story was told by the Kozhetz HaMagid about two bachrim who were muflogi teira. They were tremendously successful in their limud haTorah and they loved each other. And it happened that they went very badly off the derech in an extreme way. They converted to Christianity, and they married non-Jewish spouses, and they had non-Jewish children, and they forgot that they were Jewish. And this story tracks one of these two, who went to university, and he was tremendously matzliach, and he was matzliach in business, and he became a very powerful tsar, a minister, and he became the ruler of a town, Poritz, and he forgot he was Jewish altogether. And then one day, he's riding on his horse through a forest, to get some fresh air, and he sees a yid had died in the road, a mes mitzvah, and he remembered what the halacha was. He picked up the body and was matriach himself very much for this mitzvah. And he took the dead body home on his horse and had him buried by the Chevra Kadisha. And the next day, because of this mitzvah, we know mitzvah dereres mitzvah, he started remembering the years of his youth, and he started having hirhurei tshuva. He was tremendously mischaret. He regretted his life until that point. He became a different person. The Ruach HaTomah kept on fighting with him. How could you think about going back to your roots, to your Yiddish ways? What's with your wife, who you love, and your children? And you're going to just abandon it? And he's going back and forth until finally his Yetzer Tov wins. And late one night, he goes to the house of the Rav in the town. He looks out through his door and sees that the parrots of the town is there, and he gets very scared. The parrot says, "Do not fear. Take me into your house to a private place." And he said, he tells him the whole stories of his life, and he tells him he wants to achieve it. But he doesn't know how to do it. Like, he's locked into this whole new lifestyle. So again, very briefly, the Rav tells him to quietly liquidate whatever assets he has and get some ready cash in a way that nobody will notice. And when he does that, he tells him, "I'll give you a letter to a Talmud of mine in a very faraway city. You can start a new life. You should leave your wife and your children and everything that you own. And my Talmud, the Rav in the other city, will prescribe a way for you to do tshuva." And that's what he did. And he went to this other city. Nobody knew who he was. He had money to live, the monies that he liquidated from whatever assets he had. And he lived there for many years. And he became a Baal Tshuva Gama. And he was very beloved by the populace, who had no idea who he was. Nobody knew except for the new Rav. And then many years later, when the new Rav got old and he was about to die, and his kehillah asked him, "Rebbe, who should be your replacement?" And he said, "This fellow, this Baal Tshuva." The town was very happy, and he took him to be Rav. A while later, one of the residents of the city was possessed by an evil spirit. They used to call it Dibbuk, which for whatever reason doesn't happen anymore. And the family of the person who was afflicted, because it's a very painful thing to be possessed by a dibbuk, came to the Rav. "What do we do, Rebbe?" So he knew what to do. He had become a very chashuv Rav, and he called the town together, and the whole town, it was a little town, say tilim. And after he said the tilim, he gave them mussar that everybody should do tshuva, and they all cried, "We have to help this person drive the dibbuk out." And after he exhorted them to tshuva, and they were makabel, they're going to do tshuva with a pure heart, he turned around to the dibbuk and he said, "Dibbuk, leave this body. I command you to leave this body in the tchus of tshuva that everybody did." And the dibbuk said, "You're telling me to do tshuva? You were my friend. I am an neshama of your old friend that shmatzach with you, that converted to Christianity with you. And you did these averis with me, and these averis with me, and these averis." And this conversation was going on in front of the whole town. And the kehillah was aghast, because they had no idea of the background of this Rav. So when the Rav heard all these things, he got up to the bima and he told the Olam Raboisa, "Everything that this dibbuk says is true. I did all of these averis, and we were very good friends, this dibbuk and I. But I did tshuva before I died. I'm still alive. I did tshuva, and this dibbuk didn't. So once again, I command you, Dibbuk, to leave," and it was forced to leave. And the Kosher Samadhi, when he finished telling the story, he said that the reason why this Rav had to have this tremendous embarrassment, this busha, because there was a little bit that the Baal Tshuva, the Rav, not do total tshuva on, obviously. And he had to have this colossal embarrassment in front of the whole kehillah, where the Dibbuk starts enumerating all of the ugly things that he did, because he needed to have that embarrassment, to have a full kapoah. So we see, Rabbi, this is not a joke. This is not something which is a guzma. We have to be very careful, be guarded from the averis that we did, and find a way to be beloved by the Bashefa, praise our tefillos in a way to be obvious that we mean it, and that if we follow the directions of our tzaddikim as put forward by the Shem Yishmol, we'll be zoicha that us and Klal Yisrael will be helped and will be redeemed, and will be Yeshua Hashem for us, for Klal Yisrael, and for Eretz Yisrael, the Shabbos.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.